Welcome to the post-game show presented by Rico, a victorious post-game show. Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan. The Eagles take down the Bucks 31-20 down at Raymond James Stadium. Nick Foles, once again, the mayor of Raymond James Stadium. 2 for 2 going down there. He gets his second career win. Both of them have come on the road against the Bucks. Foles was very good today. 22 of 31 for 296 yards. 3 touchdowns passing, 1 touchdown running, a quarterback rating of 133.3. LeSean McCoy, we wondered whether this Eagles team could run as well as they have the rest of the season with Nick Foles a quarterback and against one of the best run defenses in the league. Well, Shady, 25 carries for 116 yards. That's just on the ground. He was outstanding once again, and this Eagles offense proved that it works no matter who is that quarterback, no matter the opposing defense. And the defense held its end of the bargain against Mike Glennon and Doug Martin and the Bucs offense. The Eagles pulling away in the fourth quarter. Adam, your overall thoughts on the performance today of Nick Foles and the rest of the offense?
Yeah, Nick Foles, the one thing that he didn't do, and it was great, is he didn't turn the ball over, and that you give yourself a chance to win. Anytime you don't turn it over, you know it's going to be no worse than a tight game. And he was tremendous. He really was under control today. Only a couple throws he probably would like to have back. The deep ball accuracy was good enough. The receivers were able to get the football. Riley Cooper showed up today really for the first time all season, other than in the run game. And you mentioned the run game was tremendous, and now it's a situation where Nick Foles is getting more comfortable in this tempo. I thought the tempo was tremendous. In fact, week one, where you kind of saw the way they were going to run this offense, today they really picked it up. The play count was good enough. They had a really good play count, 40 plays in the first half, not as many in the second half. But the fact of the matter is, in the end, the offensive line gave Nick Foles time to throw the ball, especially in the second half. First half, he did take too many hits, but he hung in there, and he had a great game. And if you're the coaches, you have two quarterbacks you know capable of running this offense. It doesn't get any better than that. That's what you want as a coaching staff.
You mentioned Riley Cooper. He had 4 catches for 120 yards and a touchdown. This game changed in the fourth quarter. The Eagles were up 4 points. They're up 21-17. They had pinned the Bucks down to their 1-yard line, and Mike Glennon, on a very methodical drive, drove the Bucks down into the Eagles' red zone. They got a field goal. The red zone defense was able to keep them out of the end zone, made it a 1-point game, and then the Eagles answered right back with a 3-play, 80-yard drive. Riley Cooper had a big catch and run to set up the shot play on the very next play, a touchdown to DeSean Jackson for 47 yards, or 37 yards, rather, that we will diagram later on the show here with A.J. Feely. And then the defense held again, and the offense drove down the field. All runs, 12 carries for 49 yards on that drive for LeSean McCoy. And then fourth and inches, we got the Jaquay Parker Memorial jumping off sides on fourth down, and the Eagles were able to salt away the game.
Yeah, remember I said to you, I think this is a play where you try to draw the defense offside because you have an 8-point lead. The worst thing is the send it back 5 yards if you take the delay game. The field is very easy to make there anyway, as it is. So it worked, but another thing that I really liked, and you won't really be able to tell until we see the All-22 tape, but it sure looked to me that the interior of the offensive line, which I said in my keys to the game, had to be better. They were really good today. They got off in the run game. I think, as I said, the second half they did a better job. But Gerald McCoy, how many times do we hear his name today, Bo? Not very much. I think the offensive line really had to feel good about itself today. And Jason Peters did leave for a while, then he came back in the fourth quarter. That's a great sign. Alan Barber did a nice job when he had to come in. That's not easy to come off the bench as an offensive lineman like that. So several good stories today for the Eagles, and it's great to win on the road. That's 2 in a row. They come home, they'll be no worse than tied for first place against Dallas next week, and you got to feel pretty good. And Nick Foles, as you said, that's two tremendous games in Tampa on the road, and the Eagles, as we know, travel very well. The fans showed up, and you could hear them today.
Later on the show here, we will bring you Chip Kelly's press conference live from Raymond James Stadium, as well as Nick Foles and whoever else speaks at the podium. We're also taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170, and A.J. Feely will join us in a little bit to break down some of the big plays in this game. Adam, all week long, the talk was about who would start at quarterback for the Eagles. Michael Vick battling that hamstring injury. He was listed as questionable. He went down, and he dressed today. For those of you, in case you missed it, all three quarterbacks were active for the Eagles today, so Chip Kelly will certainly discuss that in his press conference. And the eyes turn to next week now, a battle for what will be first place against the Dallas Cowboys. Who is going to be under center for the Eagles, Nick Foles or Michael Vick?
Here's what I'll predict. Unless Michael Vick practices fully Wednesday and Thursday, I don't think there's any chance that he starts. You can have your starting quarterback, based on the way that he plays and based on the pace and the tempo of this offense, being limited in practice, it just doesn't work. So Vic's going to have to practice more. He had one day where he practiced fully. That's Friday. Friday is typically a light practice, usually just over an hour, and it's the last practice of the week. Saturday's your walkthrough, whatever Chip Kelly does in his the new way that he practices here. But the fact of the matter is, Nick Foles just did it again. We both knew going to OTAs and training camp, Nick Foles can run this offense efficiently. He's got the tempo down. You saw it today. Boy, he got everyone right up to the line. He did a great job. And you know, Chip always says, hey, it's not the amount of plays. It's the tempo that we want to play at. And you saw it today. A great job on the road, and it's hot. You know, that's another thing is this is a mental strain on just challenging you because in the hot weather, you got to get things going there. And you saw the pass to Jackson. What a great throw, and the protection excellent on that play. And who would have believed it, the first time in DeSean Jackson's career, Bo, that he scored two touchdowns in a game catching the football, not just a catch and a run.
Very interesting, and very interesting to see how the Eagles were able to get DeSean into space, going sometimes against Darrelle Revis and always being the number one option for the Eagles' passing offense. As for the defense, Adam, we at halftime called for a turnover, and we got one courtesy of Bradley Fletcher picking off Mike Glennon. The Eagles' defense, they did have that one disappointing drive when they had the Bucs pinned back at the one-yard line. But other than that, they made some plays. They blitzed a lot today and did not always get home. But a few times they did get home that were critical, and then they held up in the red zone.
Yeah, and I thought what you saw was you saw some stunts. Some got home, some didn't. When they blitzed, for the most part, they did not get home. And that's something that's an ongoing challenge for Billy Davis because he wasn't given some premier pass rushers. Connor Barwin had a nice game today, obviously, but he's not a great pass rusher. Fletcher Cox showed up today. We need to mention him, number 91. He was excellent. You saw more consistent play from him, which I think the Eagle coaches were looking for. And also Vinnie Curry gave him some more good snaps. And that was a question. I thought you made a good point in the kickoff show where would Vinnie Curry, because the Bucs are a run-oriented offense, would you see Vinnie Curry play today? And they dressed him, and that's a good sign from the coaches had confidence in him to play him.
Disciplined play from the Eagles, only 3 penalties for 31 yards versus 8 penalties for 72 yards for the Buccaneers. And, of course, that crucial jumping off sides on fourth down, shades of the classic Merrill Reese call. He jumped! He jumped! Jaquay Parker jumped!
You saw ex-Eagles coach Andy Reid put his hands on his head. I mean, it happens, but it was a very good decision by the coaches to have him try to jump him off sides. And that iced the game for him. But I got to tell you, coming into the game, I thought the Eagles would struggle to score 20, so the Eagles did a great job of really moving the football. Plays were there to be made, and you know, we've talked about this many times. Without Jeremy Maclin on this team, someone else had to get the job done. This is the first time Riley Cooper all season has done it. And how about that run after the catch? And he made a great move, and he got downfield. You got to give him credit. He did a tremendous job. We're not talking about Riley Cooper in the running game anymore. We're now talking about it in the passing game.
Eagles offense has broken 30 points in 4 of their 6 games this season. They will have a big game next week against the Cowboys. But I think what we've learned is that Chip Kelly is not lying when he says this offense can work with both Nick Foles and Michael Vick.
No, we saw it. And we in training camp, I can't tell you how many times I'd go and go, boy, both quarterbacks really know how to run this offense. We saw week one with Vick running the tempo. You saw Foles do it last week. But I think they went faster this week. It sure seemed like that to me from sitting here. So it's going to be a fun challenge for them next week at home. But they've got to do a better job of establishing home field, Bo. It's been a while since teams would come in and feel like they were being challenged here.
And, of course, a big test in the Cowboys' offense. Tony Romo has been great this season, except for at the end of the fourth quarter. And Dez Bryant is one of the most dynamic receivers in the game.
No question. Jason Witten, who's a tremendous football player. And Terrence Williams, their exciting rookie from Baylor, who we saw at the Senior Bowl. He's a very talented player. And DeMarco Murray is a very physical running back. Their defense has struggled a little bit, but I'll tell you what. When you look at it, it's going to be a fun game, and I would expect the fans to come out and definitely be very loud at that game.
For the moment, the Eagles are in sole possession of first place. We got Chip Kelly coming, waving the hands. Good stuff, and Dave Spadaro is there. So we give it to the head coach, Chip Kelly, his 3-3 first place Philadelphia Eagles.
I thought Nick did a really good job. You know, what we do offensively, you know, we talked about it all along. We don't change. He ran our offense. He did a really good job of spreading the ball around at different receivers. You know, really, really happy with how we played today.
When did you let Nick know he was going to be the starter?
He knew, you know, I think just from the amount of reps he was getting, you know, we were just going to see towards the end of the week, you know, But he probably knew yesterday that he was going to be a starting quarterback.
You ran a lot of screens in the first half. Were they playing mostly zone defensively?
They played both. You know, they mix and match pretty good. They do a pretty good – I mean, that was a really good defensive football team we played against. And there's not just one thing they do. They generate a four-man rush and play zone behind it. And then other times they were bringing a lot of pressure, and sometimes we beat them with the pressure, and other times we didn't handle pressure very well. But, you know, overall, I was really pleased with how our guys played.
Sorry, I didn't hear if you said it. Did Mike warm up on the field today?
I didn't say it, so you didn't you didn't miss anything.
So what did Mike warm up on the field?
Yeah, Mike was suited up, ready to go.
And how far did you think he was from 100%? Or what did
I didn't even gauge out. You know, we knew Nick was going, but we suited him up because James Casey's our emergency quarterback. James was out, so we had to make sure we had three ready to go. So,
Mike said the first time this year you took the opening, your first possession and went down the field. Can you talk about that drive and then the call on the quarterback run?
Are you sitting down or where? I mean,
yeah,
you in a seat? Yeah. You're pretty comfortable, huh? Not a bad gig. Did you guys fight for the seat or? Is it like the Masters? Like, if you leave, do you get to keep that seat? No one takes it or anything? As long as we win, I like it. You know, I thought it was really important to get out to a fast start. You know, and I think the first play, you know, we hit LaShawn, he breaks one, and then all of a sudden our guys start to get into rhythm and start to get a roll going. And you know, I thought it was really big for us, especially playing a team like this team. We wanted to get on them early, and then really, you know, make them start to play from behind. I thought that was that big drive was huge for us at the beginning of the game.
And the call on the quarterback draw on that, can you talk about why you thought that would work?
Just what we saw on film. You know, and again, like we talk about, our offense doesn't change whether Mike's in there, Nick's in there. You know, Nick executed perfectly, and we knew they were going to be in a coverage that allowed us to let the quarterback run, and Nick executed it, and our offensive line did a great job.
You said that Nick was he the emergency guy, or would he been the second one?
Mike, it depends on the situation in the game. So,
Chip, you said Nick could do enough to win the job over a healthy Michael Vick if he was 100 for 100. Did he do that? Did he win the job if Mike's healthy?
Was he 100 for 100?
He was close.
He was close? I wish he was 100 for 100. That'd be a record.
No picks.
Now, we'll evaluate everything. You know, go back, watch film, see what we did good, see what we did bad, and see where we are, see where Mike is. So,
Mike to be ready?
I don't give any hypotheticals, and I don't make any predictions. So.
He had said that for him, he said it was going to be a long road ahead yesterday, that Mike. So, I mean, when you talked to him about it, did he feel uncertain?
No, I didn't get that feeling from him, so.
Mike's 100% healthy. Will he be the starter if Mike's 100% healthy?
I don't deal in hypotheticals. We'll see where he is.
So what dictates whether he's able to play or not? I
mean, it doesn't dictate it immediately after the game beating Tampa Bay. So we'll go back and we'll evaluate everything and see where we are as a team and make a decision where we're going.
No, I'm sorry. I meant today. I mean, but is the decision to have him active?
The decision to have him active is we want to have three quarterbacks. James Casey's our third emergency quarterback, and James wasn't available to go today. So, you know, if all of a sudden Nick goes down, then you got one quarterback, you can't finish the game. So. Mike could have finished the game for us today, and we could have put him in there. He wouldn't have been 100%, but we could have finished the game with him, so that's why we dressed him.
Coach, with the situation with the spread option, your quarterback's being banged up a little bit. Did you tell Nick, look, we don't want you running the ball? Just kind of.
No, and I think that's a missed thing. Mike pulled his muscle running out of bounds, so it's got nothing to do with the type of offense we're running. It was just a muscle pull. So.
But did you tell Nick?
I didn't tell Nick anything. I told him to let it rip. That's what we told him to do, and he did it.
What was Riley on the floor?
We're just trying to draw them off sides, and it worked. So if we're going to kick a field goal from that situation, you want to make it a two-score game. But if we could extend the clock a little bit, that was the most important thing to us is, you know, put them on the field. If you get a chance to go up 11, and we did, but can you go up 11 and bleed a little bit more time off the clock? You know, when we got the new first down, we were going to try to see if we could score, obviously. But if we didn't, you know, we got some more time off the clock. And we're just trying to see if we could get some time off the clock, see if we can jump, and they jump. So it was good for us.
Today, or was it just that the opportunities were there?
I think the opportunities were there. That's what I've felt all along with Riley. I think he's an outstanding receiver, and when the ball's thrown to him, he catches it. And the ball was thrown to him today. He did a great job. I'm really happy for Riley.
What did you see on the two deep balls in the second half, the one to Deshaun, the other to Riley? What did you see there?
Well, Riley's wasn't a deep ball. It was actually a hitch that he just converted and, you know, made the DB miss. All right, that one. That was just, you know, we felt like in certain situations we could play past him. And I think maybe both of them were on first down. So we were running the ball real successfully. We played past him and gave us an opportunity. Riley did a good job on the first one running by the young rookie corner. And then the other one was kind of a flood route. And Deshaun took it over the top of the tight end. But, you know, Deshaun's got that gear that when Nick throws it, I think some people were like, where's he going? And then all of a sudden Deshaun comes out of nowhere. But just two real good design plays that we've had in our offense, and those guys executed it.
Did you open it up a little bit after halftime?
Did I open it up? No, I mean, I think we played our normal that same offense we've run in the first six games of the year so far. So I think we've been productive in our first six games. I think the difference in today's game, again, we did a really good job in a turnover battle. It was a tough one to start the game with. But again, we didn't throw any interceptions besides that one. And I think our defense did a great job, came on the field and held them to a field goal, which was huge for us. And then we converted in the red zone. We did a better job. You know, we spent a lot of time this week in practice making sure we could execute down there, and we did. You know, so we were 2 for 2 when we were in the red zone down there.
How did you feel like your defense played overall?
I thought our defense did a really good job. You know, they got pressure on the quarterback. You know, there's a couple third and longs there, what I think we want back. But overall, we were around the ball. You know, again, we've kept the ball in front of us. We haven't had any balls thrown over our head. Fletch had a huge pick to start the second half for us, and that was huge for us, and we capitalized on that. You know, came away with a touchdown in that situation. I thought we were going to have another one. Brandon dropped that one. You know, and even in some of the third downs they converted, we were extremely close, you know, to either getting the quarterback down or to, you know, I thought for a young quarterback, I thought he did a pretty good job in executing. So, you know, we're getting better each week, and we'll take this one. We'll grow from it, and we'll go from there.
Do you think you were able to – Nick was able to open up and hit those long balls because you guys were able to run the ball pretty effectively in the first half?
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand, you know, and when you do run the ball, you got to kind of, you know, dedicate more guys to the front, and they started to get their safeties down and play, and when you get your safeties down in the box, and all of a sudden you're going to leave your corners one-on-one, and you know, when they did it to us, we made them pay, and I think that's a mark of a good football team. Yeah, but he went back in. So he was out for a couple snaps, but then he was cleared and went back in. So I think he was in at the end. So I don't know. Again, during a game, they just tell me if a guy's up or down. So
you got caught there without him, and then Rock got called for the pass interference. But he's still out there. They came up, and him and Wolf kind of got that final breakup. How important was the guys to kind of step up?
Yeah, I think Rock's a guy that's really done a nice job since we acquired him just a little while ago. He's starting to – each week you see him improving, and I think it helps us, you know, with our depth at corner. You know, we got Fletch, we got Brandon, we got Kerry, and now I think Rock's kind of emerging as that fourth guy. So it was, you know, in a game like this, especially with the heat, you know, you knew you were going to have to play a lot of guys, and I know we did. But, you know, I think when Rock went in there, I think you're starting to see things out. And he's done a great job for us in the last couple of games, special teams-wise, especially as a gunner, but I think he's starting to come along as a corner. We've run it a lot, Paul, since we started here. It's just it creates some different matchup problems, you know, on how they're going to deploy themselves. You know, you're using really Jason Peters as a tight end. You know, are you going to put a defensive end on him, or how are you going to kind of time up all your blitzes and things like that? And I think it's really a credit to Jay when you got somebody that versatile that, you know, you don't miss anything from an athleticism standpoint, but you get such a great push at the point of attack. I think it really helped us.
Did you use it on the touchdown to Deshaun?
On the touchdown to Sean, no, we were imbalanced. But we had two tight ends in the game. So.
Were there any other adjustments you had to make in the run game after last week, the Giants?
No, the biggest adjustment we had to make was how loud our fans were. They were freaking awesome. That was unbelievable. I mean, you go into a foreign, you know, an away stadium and listen to the crowd, you know, chanting us on like that, it was awesome. And I'd like to just give them credit. I think it's great to see. We go on the road to see all the Eagle fans run around. So we've been successful the last 2 weeks in a row. Now we get to go home and play in front of everybody back at home at the link. So.
The silent count too, maybe?
Run with that.
I don't know.
Run with that.
Did you guys have any concern about the MRSA thing that was going on here as you guys?
We met with, I think it's Dr. Anderson. He came over and met with myself, Howie, Don, our doctors, and Chris Peduzzi last night and gave us the whole rundown of it and, you know, where the league was with it and how he felt about it. And I think we felt comfortable in his answers in terms of how he told us everything worked out. So. You know, we deferred to them, but I think he was very helpful in terms of talking to us. And then our doctors, any players that had questions, could meet with our doctors and get everything explained to them. So, this week compared to last week, I think we called more, probably a little bit more called runs. You face an entirely different defense. You know, the four down defense that the Tampa Bay plays with Tampa 2 behind it is a lot different than what the other guys played. You know, he also didn't have two big 300 and X amount tackles, you know, inside. You know, I think they're a little bit smaller, faster defense, and I think that, you know, maybe probably a little bit better matchup for us. So.
Two more questions, guys. Two more.
What's quarterback? What do you think of him?
I thought Mike did a really nice job. You know, I think he's very accurate. You know, there's a couple times we were draped on receivers on third down, and, you know, he put the ball only in the spot where the receiver could catch it. You know, for a rookie quarterback, and really I think it's his second start, I was really, really impressed with Mike today.
Coach, you've been through the Civil War.
I thought it was awesome. I just mentioned it earlier. They were fantastic. It's great to be able to go on the road and see that many jerseys and see that many people running around in green and white, and it was awesome. So I thought they were huge. Our players enjoyed it. It's awesome when you go on the road and you can see that type of support. So.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
A happy, gregarious winning. Chip Kelly addresses the podium. He says that Michael Vick was the emergency third quarterback today in place of James Casey because Casey was unable to play today. And also that we'll find out what happens this week. Michael will try to play this week, but it may be Nick Foles again next week against the Cowboys in a battle for first place. All right, we've got more coming your way on the other side here on the postgame show presented by Rico. Taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170. We will also hear from the likes of Nick Foles and hopefully DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy as well. Plus, AJ Feely breaks down when this game turned.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more! Let's go, yo! Woo! One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
But Wolf and Adam Kaplan back on the postgame show presented by Rico. The Eagles taking out the Bucks 31-20, moving to 500 on the season, 3-3, and first place in the NFC East. Adam, after last week's second half to the Giants when the Eagles were unable to run the ball as well as they had throughout the early part of the season, there was a lot of focus today on whether they'd be able to do so against a very good Buccaneers run defense, the very best in the league last season. And this offensive line paved the way for LeSean McCoy. A big day for Shady. What did you see from the offensive line?
I thought Jason Kelce had a much better game. We talked about in the kickoff show where he had to play better than he did last week, perhaps one of his worst games as a pro, and he was great today. They got some runs inside. I mean, they did a really good job. I thought for sure they'd have problems with Gerald McCoy. We didn't really call his name very much when we were watching the game together. So this is a great test for them today. The Bucs have one of the best young defensive lines in the National Football League, and I thought the Eagles really answered the bell today. did a very nice job. And quite frankly, I didn't think McCoy would get 100 yards. And he got over that. And also the nice screen, which is tremendous. That's the part of the offense we were wondering if they could bring it back. And McCoy, the thing you love is he's got downhill many, many runs today. And you love that. When he gets downhill, you can't stop the guy. To run over 100 yards against the Bucs for one runner is tremendous. And 4.6 yards per carry, you'll take that any day.
How much would you argue with me if I said that I believe that LeSean McCoy is the best running back in the NFL?
Well, I think Adrian Peterson is. If you want to say he's number two, I'm not going to argue against it. How about that?
That's fair. I'll give that to you.
I think he's number two. Well, who else would you talk about being in that area of explosiveness, making unblocked defenders miss? What else could you think of that's that good?
You know, people before the season might have put Doug Martin in that category, but I saw him today. I wasn't super impressed. I think Shady just makes people miss more than anybody else in the league.
I threw it out there 6 months ago about how I think what sets McCoy up against others is how he makes people miss. I said he's not Barry Sanders, but he doesn't like Barry Sanders, and a lot of people are talking about that. But the thing about Barry Sanders, though, is he took a lot of negative yards. McCoy doesn't take a lot of negative yards in comparison. And that screenplay was so well executed. And I love the way he changed direction there, did a great job of finishing. And McCoy doesn't get these type of runs today unless he gets blocking up front. I thought it really worked very well today for McCoy. And Foles executed that offense tremendously. Look at that rating, just unbelievable. And I got to tell you, I didn't think DeSean Jackson would score two touchdowns. One, Revis was looking for help, and the other one was another great throw by Foles. And the protection, though, the key, after a little bit of an up-and-down first half for the offensive line, boy, they gave him time in the second half. And I thought what happened was the Eagles' run game wore down the Bucs' front four. I thought that was the key today. You have to give the Eagles' offensive line credit for bouncing back, Bo, after, I thought, inconsistent game last week.
One of the knocks on Nick Foles last year in the preseason by some people was that they didn't believe he threw a great deep ball. We saw a few nice completions today on deep passes, two to DeSean Jackson, one to Riley Cooper. What did you make of the way he threw the ball
down? I thought he stepped into his throws, and I'll tell you why. He had time, as you saw. Design rollouts. He seven steps did very well for him. Five steps he did well. And he was able to drive the ball downfield. He throws a higher ball than Michael Vick. Vick's got better velocity, obviously. But you saw the play to Jackson in the back of the end zone. He fired it in there, just like he did at Tampa Bay last year, where he had a tremendous game. In fact, it's ironic that both of his best games as a pro are against Tampa Bay. He did a great job today, but he doesn't get it done without great blocking. The tight ends also, I thought, helped a little bit, especially Brent Celek had a couple nice blocks today.
Next week would be the Dallas Cowboys, a game that Nick Foles went down to Dallas last year and played pretty well, did throw a costly interception, though. How do you think this offense matches up against that Monty Kiffin Tampa 2, which we know that Chip Kelly dominated when they were at Oregon and USC, respectively?
In fact, they're not playing maybe as much cover 2 as they usually do, but the bottom line is Marsh Claiborne, the first-round pick out of LSU a couple years ago, is not playing well. Their safety play historically has been bad. It's not good this year. I think Eagles will be able to score. It's just a matter of how will they match up defensively on Dallas's offense. It's going to be tough. I mean, you got Dez Bryant. Miles Austin's back from his hamstring injury. We'll see how his hamstring injury handles it, you know, today coming back. And you've got Terrence Williams, who's a really good looking.
Stepping up, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a nice job the last two games, two big games. And Jason Witten, who's a tremendous football player, who the Eagles sometimes do well, gets him, sometimes he gets them. So it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be a fun game, and I would expect that to be an intriguing game because both teams can score. I think the key for the Eagles is getting off to a good start. They did this. First time all year, Bo, they scored on the first drive. You don't want to get it behind against Dallas, but I'll tell you what, I think we've learned about this Eagles offense. They could score against anyone. When you score against one of the best teams in the National Football League, against Tampa Bay, who's got a great defense, you score 31 points, that's tremendous to me. I didn't see that happening, and they did a great job today.
Should be a great atmosphere next Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. We should give credit to all the Eagles fans who traveled down to Tampa Bay. Sounded like about 50-50 split between Eagles and Bucs fans there. Chip Kelly, you heard him give a shout-out to the Eagles fans during his press conference. Very impressive, as always, which we know, to see this Eagles fan base travel on the road.
Yeah, they do. The Eagles fans travel very well. Another guy we shouldn't mention, though, Bradley Fletcher, continues to get better. The thing is, he's not a great athlete, but he's physical and he's strong. I remember talking to one of the coaches when they signed him. He said, you know what, we need guys who are more physical and play a smarter game.
He's feisty.
He is, and so is your guy, Cary Williams, who I know you had a great article in the
Wolf's Den. I
enjoyed reading that, learned a little bit more about Cary Williams that I didn't know. But they're physical. You know what? They're not the greatest athletes in the world. If they get their hands on you, it's going to be hard to get deep. And Chip talked about it. They stopped giving up those deep balls. Now, they're giving up sideline throws, where they're giving up a little bit of space, and you saw Vincent Jackson had his way. But I'll take the bend-that-don't-break kind of defense as long as the Eagles' offense is running well, as it did today. They're probably going to win because they're not giving up the big plays downfield. And when you don't do that, you've got a chance to win.
All right, so the Eagles' defense does do a good job. Anything you noticed in terms of Billy Davis's philosophies about going up against this rookie quarterback?
They did bring the pressure, but the thing they didn't do is get home. They've got to figure out another way. The stunts, they had the TE stunt in the second half, which worked, but overall, not a lot of their pass rushers getting home. They tried, but you know the Dallas offensive line is getting better each week. They got off to a terrible start. They're not real good in the interior. That's where I think the Eagles could have some advantage. Finding another way, D'Amico Ryan's played very well today. I want to see what other pressures they could come up with. They're going to have to do it because Tony Romo has got a quick release when they play the Cowboys. That's going to be another challenge for the Eagles' defense.
You talk about maybe taking advantage of the Cowboys' interior, and earlier you mentioned how impressive a game Fletcher Cox played. Mm-hmm. He's been a little bit under fire. Last year's first-round pick, a very good rookie season. It seemed like it was taking him a little bit of time to get comfortable in this defense and maybe for Billy Davis to get comfortable in exactly how he wants to use Fletcher Cox. But today, I think, was a very encouraging step mm-hmm. forward.
Yeah, and in fact, Billy Davis talked about it. The biggest challenge for the defensive linemen who played in the 4-3 is they got to play in the 3-4, the different techniques. And that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week, a month, or 2 months. It takes several weeks, if not months, to get used to the way that you have to play. When you're two-gapping, it's just a different mentality when you're taking up more players. It's not easy. And Fletcher Cox loves the 4-3. He's not used to playing in the 3-4, and it's been a big challenge. But
got to cut you off. We got the winning quarterback, Nick Foles.
Here we go.
Nick, when did you find out you were starting?
Before this week, I've taken reps and just coming up to the game, they told me I was going to go, so pretty close to the game.
What's your overall impression of the way you played against a pretty top-end defense?
Hats off to Tampa. I thought that they had a really good team and a really good defense, and we had to fight hard. I was really proud of our guys for fighting, and, there's some good things out there, but, it's a great win. It feels good to get a win.
Nick, you've had a chance now for a full game to run this offense, quite a bit different than last year's offense. Can you talk about how you feel within the scheme here?
Yeah, it is different with schematically, but I feel really comfortable here. I feel comfortable with our personnel, our plays, everything. It helps when you have a great relationship with the players, the coaches, and when you go into a game and you're all on the same page, you know that you're going to fight for each other. So I was really proud of the guys everybody stuck together, and it was a great another team win. So I was really proud of everyone.
Nick, I don't want to jinx you or anything, but you've thrown a pick this year. You've been really careful with the ball. What's the key to that for you of being aggressive and getting the ball down the field but also not turning it over?
I think just preparation. Our guys are doing a great job, too, of running their routes. Guys up front doing a great job blocking. I mean, it takes everybody to be on the same page for that not to happen. And, there's always a chance it will. And I think the big thing is if you do throw a pick, you always come back firing. But I think it's just really, understanding what's going on in the defense, going through the reads, not trying to force a ball, and just being smart with it. Because turnovers, as y'all have seen, can be a big determining factor in a game. So just trying to be smart with the ball.
On the back-to-back plays with the pass to Riley that he broke out.
Yep.
And then the next third play, you hit Deshaun. Talk about that a little bit. Tell us what the deal was there. Seemed like a key moment.
Yeah, they were playing soft coverage. I got the ball to Riley, and he made a tremendous play and really showed his speed and his athletic ability. So it was fun to see him run down like that. And then we had a little play action pass called on, and Deshaun went right over the top of him and made a great play. So, it's fun when you have two plays like that in a row and you get some points on the board.
In the second half, it appeared you looked downfield more than you did in the first half and in the preseason. What was that the product?
I think when you go through a game, you see how the defense plays you. We're throwing a lot of underneath stuff because they play a two-deep shell most of the time, so they don't want to get beat deep. And I think they started changing up, started bringing a lot of pressure, and we started running and throwing little screens. So It's just what they were showing us. And, you know, Chip made a lot of great play calls. You know, I have all the confidence in the world in him, and put us in a great position. The guys, you know, did a great job.
You wouldn't be a competitor if you didn't want to stay in there and remain the starting quarterback, but that's an uncertain situation. How do you look at that?
I don't worry about it. I'm really proud of my team for winning right now. It was a hard-fought game, and I'm going to enjoy it with my teammates. No matter what happens, I'm gonna be right there. I'm going to stay the same person. I know who I am. And Mike was tremendous tonight. Mike and Matt, they were right there to support me no matter what. And it really helps when you have quarterbacks in a quarterback room, you know, with our coach Bill Lazor that, you know, support you no matter what. And I'm going to support Mike no matter what, and I'm going to support Matt no matter what. So it's pretty special.
It's been a little bit of a tough year for Riley with everything happening on the field and off. How happy were you that 4-for-120 is a career day for you?
I'm very proud of him. I love Riley to death, and thought he played tremendous near his hometown. And I'm really, really proud of him. He's, you know, I really think he's, you know, his character has grown for sure.
What's the deal with the stadium with you? What's the deal with the stadium, man?
I felt like it was a home game with all the. I mean, there was a couple times that the crowd was yelling, and I thought, oh no, what happened? And I looked, and it was all the green and. White jersey, so it was our fans. So we had a tremendous amount of support here. We did last year as well. So it's pretty fun when you're in an opposing stadium and you have that many fans that come and support you. So, I mean, they helped us tremendously.
They kept touching on throwing Riley. Was that set up through the course of the game?
I mean, they gave us a good look to go a one-on-one matchup. He was a little off. But Riley's a great athlete. He has a lot of explosion, so I knew that he was going to get past him, and I just tried to throw it out there. So it was something that they were bringing blitzes. We were running the ball, so they tried to load the box in one-on-one matchup against a rookie, I believe, and he did a great job.
The quarterback draw that you scored, is that an opportunity for you guys simply because, unlike with Michael, defenses don't feel like they have to account for you?
It was just something that we study in film, and you know, it was something that their defense showed, and we wanted to take advantage of it. And they gave us the same look, and the play worked no matter what. So I couldn't tell you a reason. So you probably have to ask their coaches. I'm glad it worked.
You were very productive in the red zone. How important is that? And what's the key for you for your success down there?
It's tremendously important to be, you know, sharp in the red zone. You really want to, you know, get those points. You don't want to come away with field goals. So I think the big thing is preparation. You see what they're going to do, and you really got to take advantage of it. You got to be on time, you got to be sharp with your throws, precision, accuracy, and you can't hold on the ball too long, because that's when bad things happen down there, because everything's faster. So that all goes with preparation and everybody being on the same page, and the line doing a great job blocking, and they did, so we were able to do great things in the red zone.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Deshaun Thank Jackson's y'all. Coming right up right now.
All right, good stuff from Nick Foles. Adam, thank you so much for your service.
Good job today, my friend.
You too. We will bring in A.J. Feely on the other side and take in your phone calls. Oh, wait. You know what? How about this?
All right, Zach.
First two-touchdown game of your career. Did you know that? And how do you think you played out there?
It was definitely a good game. I felt going into this game, it was going to be a tough one, 0-14. Second week in a row, we played a team that was, you know, over and didn't have no win. So, anytime NFL game you have that going, teams are going to go out there and do the best they can to, you know, fight so hard to get a win. And, regardless of my stats at the end of the day, I just wanted to help my team win the game. And, you know, that was to come out here and play together and, do some great things out there, which we was able to do. But, I tip my hat off to Tampa. They went out there. They gave it their all. They fought. And, it was a tough battle from start to finish. So it was a good game. I'm just happy we came out on top.
Was Revis on you a lot?
I mean, yeah, throughout the whole game, pretty much, he was guarding me, things like that. So, it was a good matchup, good battle. I felt confident in myself to be able to go out there, make some big plays, which was able to happen a couple times there.
On the second touchdown, you were lined up in the slot without Revis on you. Was that a point that you guys have gone throughout the week to try to get you away from him?
I mean, we didn't know if, he would follow me inside or not. He's more of an outside corner, so I don't really think he likes to cover inside and things like that. So just to get a mismatch on me on the safeties, that was a great play call by Chip at the right time. You know, put us up 8 points, and our defense was able to come out there and stop their offense. And we were able to come down the field, run the clock down a little bit, and kick a field goal. So, You know, that was a big part of the game towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter.
But that first touchdown was against Reeves, and you were able to kind of, how did you get open?
Yeah, I mean, it was a, you know, in the red zone. It was a, once again, great play call. He was playing inside of me a little bit, so I had to come at the field, stick him like I was going out, and just came inside. Foles made a great ball, caught a touchdown, you know, and did my little dance, you know, had a little fun.
Deshaun, I'm sorry if you've been asked about this 2 weeks in a row now, you've had red zone touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Area probably you weren't, most of your touchdowns were from long distance. How does it feel to kind of be able to produce inside the
field? Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity I'm having. I'm, you know, getting a chance to be able to go out there and make plays in the red zone. And like I said, I always felt I could be a threat regardless of where it's at in the field. And, you know, I have a coach that believes in me down there and, you know, likes to call my number. So, once again, like you said, second week in a row, I had a red zone touchdown. So, any opportunities I'm able to get, go out there, you know, just make plays for my team and, you know, help us win games. That's what we're here for. And that's what we're
doing. How stood out to you about Nick's performance?
I think Nick did a great job. You know, he came in, you know, really gave us an opportunity to win a football game. So anytime you have a, you know, a guy, I don't really look at Nick as a backup because, you know, he's played with the ones so much throughout the offseason, throughout training camp and things like that. So he's very familiar with the guys we have in there. And he does a great job of coming in and really just giving us the opportunity to win games. So you know, I think he did a great job, you know, and just getting better. So once again, this game's over. We have a big game next week to focus on. You know, Dallas Cowboys coming to our game, rivalry game, so we're excited about that.
How important is it to have a second guy, second receiver kind of step up like Riley did today?
Yeah, I feel Riley's a good player. You know, he's been very patient, you know, struggling throughout early in the season to really make plays, do, you know, be more involved in the offense and things like that. So I think today he was able to get involved. He had, you know, some huge catches, was able to, you know, help me out as well, too, because anytime you have a receiver on the other side, you know, make plays like that, they're going to have to start countering on him, too, as well. So, you know, he had, like I said, back home, great game, you know, got a touchdown himself. So looked up, but he caught the ball and, you know, just ran over there and just wanted to go celebrate with him, man, because he deserves it. He worked so hard. And it's good to see him, you know, have a chance to, you know, make plays and score a touchdown. So
two more for Deshaun. Two more.
Is that a zone coverage, the first touchdown? I know Reeves is looking for the inside.
I mean, you know, he has a job to do, which is cover me. So regardless of his zone, man, you know, down in the red zone, they play like a quarters half, you know, where he has to guard just as well as the safety. So it's like a 2-on-1. So I don't know if he was depending on the safety to just be there or not, but you know, whatever the case may be, he still has the job to do. It's just not letting me score, and I scored.
Was there any talking going on back and forth between you and Reeves?
I mean, a little bit early in the game. You know, we kind of said some words, but you know, I was just focused on doing my job, honestly. Trying not to really get, you know, back and forth at him too much. Just going out there and producing, doing things I need to do to help my team win.
Okay, thanks, Sean. The locker room is closed. The players are all gone.
All right, so good stuff from D. Jack. Adam, now we officially say goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you. Once again, on the other side, taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170. AJ Feely joins me to break down how the Eagles took out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 31-20.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Welcome back to the post-game show presented by Rico. As you can see, AJ Feely has replaced Adam Kaplan in the analyst seat here on the post-game show as the Eagles have defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-20, and a great showing from the Eagles fans down in Tampa Bay. A lot of support on the road, and you can see right there the fans waiting outside the Eagles bus. Live footage courtesy of our man Dave Spadaro, and good stuff there from the Eagles fans. AJ, the story of this game, twofold, I think. LeSean McCoy's continued dominance on the ground, but also the offense running very smoothly with Nick Foles. What did you see from him in his first start of the season?
Well, I saw his ability to get the ball into his playmaker's hands. I think that, you know, the difference between him and Michael Vick is his ability to give him a chance. Michael Vick, you know, at times can overthrow players, and when he gets to the third and fourth receiver, might not get there. He might take off and run. And with Nick Foles, he tends to stay in the pocket and finds those guys.
Did you see him? Did you see the ball coming out quickly today?
I did. I mean, that's the name of the game. As a quarterback, it's all about timing. And so if you can do that and you get to the right read and you can put an accurate spot, you're giving yourself a chance.
Did you notice anything different in terms of his comfort level or just the way the offense was going with him as the starting quarterback, having had the full week of practice versus when he came in cold off the bench last week?
Well, I think when you get a full week of practice under your belt, you come into the game well prepared. You know you're going to play. You have a pretty good idea of that. But I think he played really, really well. I mean, it's going to be a tough decision as to what goes forward here.
Yeah, certainly. I think you wait until Michael Vick gets 100% until he's fully back. Nick Foles certainly gives you a chance to win. All right, let's go to our first phone call. C. Lee from Virginia. What's up, C. Lee?
What's up, Bo? What's up, AJ? How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, man, fired up after a win. You know, I haven't had consecutive wins in a while. It's a good feeling. You know, I thought team, you know, overcame a little adversity kind of early there in the before the halftime, but other than that, it was a good win.
Absolutely. I believe I saw on Twitter from a friend of the program, Noah Becker, who said it was the first time the Eagles have had a back-to-back double-digit wins since the 2011 season.
Yeah, you know, it's good to hopefully kind of build on this, and, you know, as I'm saying, the season one game at a time, you know, not looking too far down the road, and like what I saw from Nick Foles, the fact that he was involved in all four touchdowns, you know, and kind of showed some good poise and showed he did his thing. So it was good to see the offense, you know, without Mike, still was able to run smooth and fluid, you know.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for the call, Seeley.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Sure, no problem. How about Nick taking that first quarterback draw for the touchdown?
That was huge.
Up the middle.
I mean, I'm lucky he came out of that unscathed, though. He took a shot from his own player as he fell into the end zone.
That's true. How about, Matt Barkley was that close to coming in. But Nick, I think he's obviously not the athlete that Mike Vick is, and he's going to try to pass it before he's going to try to run it. But every now and then, he could sneak up on you.
Yeah, he keeps him honest. I mean, regardless of who's playing quarterback, if there's an ability of a guy to go in there and keep a defensive end or an outside linebacker honest to gain three or four, that's what you want. Obviously, when Michael Vick's in the game, there's a possibility of that play turning into a 20-yard gain or a 40-yard gain, unlike Nick Foles. But that's all you want in a quarterback, is a guy to keep the defense honest.
How about having a guy like LeSean McCoy in the backfield for you?
Well, I mean, that keeps the defense honest altogether, too, because the guy can make anybody miss. As long as you can get him the ball in space, even if you don't get it in space, he's going to make someone miss and get productive yards.
And as we prepare next week for the Dallas Cowboys, if you're a quarterback, how do you see this offense matching up against what is predominantly a cover Tampa 2 zone?
Well, when you see a cover 2 zone, more than likely you're going to run the football bunch. And it's all about what those outside linebackers do and how they match up to the spread offense. If they're going to sit in the box, you might see a lot of bubble screens. You're going to see a lot of play action. But you could see a big day from LeSean McCoy.
And you talk about those bubble screens, how they attack. What would be that Tampa 2?
How it works is that the outside linebacker has to make a decision how he's going to play that slot receiver. So the bubble screen can be an extension of the run game, so to speak.
Right.
If he bites down on the play action, you can pull it and throw to the bubble screen, and you can get three or four. So that's how you can exploit that situation.
And obviously the Eagles have guys like DeSean Jackson or even Demaryius Johnson or Riley Cooper. We saw what he did after the catch today. Guys who can make those kinds of plays.
Yeah, that's the great thing. I mean, if you look at today's game, 8 receivers touched the ball today. And that's what you want. It keeps everybody honest. You can't key on one guy because there's capable guys of catching the ball and being productive.
What did you see from Mike Glennon as a second start for the rookie? How did you think the Eagles defense attacked him?
I was impressed. I mean, up to the last quarter, I thought he gave them a best chance to win a game.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, he got a lot of pressure. He didn't make many mistakes, but for a young guy, I see a lot of promise there.
And did you see the Eagles defense doing anything differently than they have against a lot of the veteran quarterbacks who they've played the last few weeks?
I thought they had their fit. The TE game, and when they got sacks on him, that's a timing issue. And if you can do that properly and get to him and get the guy to turn outside and not pick you up, you can pick up pressure and get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And I think they're just kind of getting to their comfort zone on that stunt game.
All right, Bo Wolf and A.J. Feely taking your phone calls. 215-320-5170 is the call. And on the other side, we're also going to break down how this game turned. Some of the big plays, the touchdown to DeSean Jackson, and a couple of those quick hitters that the Eagles worked against the Bucs defense. Coming back with more on the other side, the post-game show presented by Rico.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more! Let's go, yo! Woo! One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
We'll be right back. Bo Wolf and A.J. Feely back on the postgame show presented by Rico. The Eagles move to 3-3, first place in the NFC East, and 3-0 in the NFC after taking out the Tampa Bay Bucks 31-20. We go to the phone lines. Mike from Texas is on the line. How are you, Mike?
Good. How you doing?
Doing, Mike.
Doing very well. What are your impressions?
I'm just really excited. I'm really great that glad that the Eagles won today. But what I was going to ask you guys is, who do you think, if both the quarterbacks are healthy, who do you think is a better quarterback going up against Dallas next week with the type of defense that they run? And what do you think that we're going to have to do on defense in order to stop Tony Romo and Dez Bryant?
Very good questions, Mike. I think the quarterbacks are obviously going to be the big story this week. And I think that if Mike Vick is 100% healthy, he's still the quarterback. He gives you more dimensions offensively. But until he is, Nick Foles has proved that he can move this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think going into it, if Michael Vick's healthy, he's going to be the guy. I mean, prior to him getting hurt, he was playing his best football. But it's great to have a backup guy that's coming in and winning games. So, it's a win-win situation for the Eagles at this point.
Defensively, going up against a pass-heavy team in the Cowboys, and one of the best receivers in the league in Dez Bryant, it will certainly be a difficult test for Billy Davis.
It is. I think for them, the key is going to be able to keep things in front of them. If they can hold them to field goals and they can limit the big plays, they have a chance, because I think the offense is going to be able to score points. But they have big play players over there. I mean, they've got an array of guys that can win on one-on-one matchups, and I think they're going to try to exploit that. But if the defense can hold that, then we have a chance.
All right. Well, one of the things the Eagles did very well today against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was utilize the screen game. From the very first play of the game, the long completion to LeSean McCoy, the Eagles were very good in the screen game today. And let's take a closer look at two of these plays that came back-to-back here.
Just a simple screen play, and what it is to keep the defensive line and keep the pass rush honest. And what you're going to see, it's a simple slow screen to the right. And what's great about it is that Nick Foles, when the ball is snapped, he keeps his eyes away from where the screen's going and drifts to him and gives him a catchable ball here. And then when we talk about screens, it's all about it's all about getting upfield and staying vertical. And you'll see here, Nick does a good job here, kitty, draws him in, and gives him a very catchable ball, and then he gets upfield.
And here we see the blockers out in front of LeSean McCoy as this play runs, and look at all that open space. And this is part of the reason why you have a focus for the Eagles of getting these athletic offensive linemen.
Yeah, if you can have a guy that can run in space and to be able to get blocks on the run against some of these DBs, because those DBs are tough to block. And then we talk about getting on the pavement and running vertical, and that's exactly what happened.
And LeSean McCoy, as good in the open space as there is in the NFL. So let's take a look at this next play, a bit of a variation on what they showed earlier.
A little bit of variation. It's what that you would call a double screen. And how it works is you fake a wide screen to the right and try to draw the defense that side. All the way, Selleck's setting up, a passing play and blocking and then engaging. But what people don't realize here with Nick Foles is that when the play runs, is that there's a guy that's keying on Selleck, and at one point he had a chance to possibly make a play, but Nick Foles does a great job of giving Selleck a catchable ball and putting air under it to where the guy can't react to it.
And this is such a patient play from Nick Foles there, as he waits for it to develop, even in the face of pressure, and then he does get it to Selleck. And as you said, right there, there is a guy who his responsibility is to take care of Selleck.
Is to cover him, and you can see Selleck's got two blockers ahead of him, to gain some good yardage, although Selleck cuts back inside and tries to find his own way.
As the play runs there, you see the development. And Selleck, there you go. This is great, the open space in front of him. He could have gone to the left.
I think it was drawn up to go to the left. There's a sidewalk there that they talk about that he should follow those two blockers. But for a playmaker, when you see open space, you tend to go to that spot.
That's fair. All right, so the Eagles effective in the screen game very much today. Later on, we'll take a closer look at the long touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson. But for now, we go down to Raymond James Stadium and talk to defensive coordinator Billy Davis after his team held up against the Bucs.
Yeah, he does. Earl, all our young guys, we saw Benny Logan jump in there and make a couple plays. So we're happy with where the young guys are progressing. It really just go into every game just scrapping all you can scrap to get a win out of here, and that's what we did today. And I think we did get better as a group, and I think Earl's coming along with that group.
You had made the comment near the end of training camp that, and you kind of alluded to it here, the goal for the year is just to gradually get better and be as good as you can be. with the exception of the Denver game, do you feel like that's the pattern that's...
It does feel like it's going in the right direction. And really, when you dissect the little things like the pass rush, I don't know, but our guys were all over the quarterback and disrupting his throwing motion, and it causes different plays. Boykin should have had a pick six maybe at the end there where he dropped one right in his hands. But the combination of the line games and how they're getting better is making the ball come out, and the pressure, you know, we're putting some pressure on them. The DBs are getting a better feel for how often we want them to press and when we play off and how they're playing with each other. So all those little things are moving forward. And as we get wins and they move forward, that's where it gets exciting.
When you really needed it with Connor, you had the sack. Can you talk about the call and just the feeling that you had that everything came together there?
The D-line, it was just called, you know, it was a four-man rush games, and we had good coverage behind it. Usually when you have a sack, you got some pretty good coverage behind it. So the coverage was sound behind it, and they just had a little me game, and Connor came flying around and got a big sack for us.
Good stuff from Billy Davis, the defensive coordinator there, as the Eagles now prepare for a big first-place clash next week against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's take a bit of a look at the upcoming schedule for the Eagles. Six games down, they've got the Cowboys coming in, a big NFC East stretch as they once again face the Giants for the second time in 4 weeks before going on the road at Oakland and then following that at Green Bay.
Yeah, look at these next three games. They're all winnable games, and, you know, next week, to come back and play at home, it should be electric. Definitely give me an advantage playing at home against the Dallas Cowboys.
We need a win at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles got to pick one up against the hated Dallas Cowboys. Squash those cockroaches, as we like to say here in Philadelphia. All right, coming back with more on the other side, the post-game show presented by Rico. Taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170, and also breaking down the DeSean Jackson touchdown coming up right here on the post-game show.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What? I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most high sports, Xfinity.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. Guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Wolf and AJ Feely back with you on the postgame show presented by Rico. We go back to the phone lines and stay local. Tavio in Philly. How you doing, Tavio?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Tavio?
What do you got for us? What are your thoughts?
I'm calling to talk about Nick Foles, man. Big Nick Foles fan right here.
Yeah, what do you think? You think he can lead this offense moving forward?
Honestly, I do, man. When you look at the difference between Nick Foles and Michael Vick, you know, Foles' drives just seem more methodical, you know, as to where Vick's drives just seem a little bit more inconsistent, either like the big play or, you know, a three and out. So, and then also with the plays in the red zone, like, Foles is putting points up on the board, man, and just really feeling Foles right now.
Well, Mike Vick was putting up points just as much as Nick was. He got the Eagles to 30 points in three of his five games.
Yeah, but in the red zone, I think is where it matters the most at, you know, and Nick Foles has shown so far that he could capitalize in the red zone.
All right. Well, we appreciate the thoughts, Tavio. AJ, what do you think about Nick's
he
performance
makes good
in the red zone?
I mean, you can't lie with the numbers right now and what they're doing in the red zone with Nick Foles playing quarterback. And with Nick Foles, I mean, he is a methodical quarterback and a guy that's not as fast and as athletic as Michael Vick. That's how you have to play the game. You have to find number two, number three, number four before you take off and run. And it's not that he's not effective running with the football if he has to. It's just not Michael Vick. But the numbers don't lie. He's putting up touchdowns, they're scoring, and they're winning games.
Michael Vick's biggest problem in the red zone, I think, over the past couple of years has been turnovers. He leads the NFL in red zone turnovers since 2011. But other than that, I've still got my vote behind Michael Vick, the number one quarterback for this Eagles team. But Nick Foles is a great number two, and he showed today what he can do with this Eagles offense. And speaking of that, let's take a look at one of his touchdown passes, one of his three touchdown passes, and one of his two that went to DeSean Jackson. A beautiful design here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great red zone play by design. And what they're trying to do is take advantage of this cover four coverage in the red zone. And it's, you know, the play itself is created by Nick Foles and the concept that you're going to look at. Brent Celek is going to run a drag right across the field where DeSean runs a dagger route. And if you key on that safety is never supposed to have a wide receiver get behind him. But if you see Nick Foles here, he gives him a little pump fake to Celek, and it draws that safety to come down, leaving the back of the end zone wide open for DeSean Jackson. And then Nick Foles throws a strike. I mean, I don't think you can throw a better ball.
Yeah, you can see that Darrell Revis thinks he's got that safety help, and you're right, that pump fake draws that safety up, and DeSean Jackson, Chip Kelly and Pat Shurmur have both talked about they believe that DeSean can be very successful in the red zone. This is two straight weeks with the red zone touchdown for number 10.
Yeah, and if you look at Nick Foles, he's comfortable. I mean, this is a situation where he knows the play is going to develop and it should work. And then he creates it himself with a little bit of a pump fake, drawing that guy on Celek. And then to finish the throw under, you know, balanced, the ball where only DeSean's going to catch it, and it's a strike. You know, when people talk about Nick Foles, I've heard people mention that he doesn't have a strong arm. That's not the case. And that's not the case in the NFL. You don't have to have a strong arm to play quarterback in the NFL. You have to be accurate, and you have to make good decisions.
All right, well, great stuff there. Let's go to one more final break, and on the other side, we'll take your phone calls, 215-320-5170. Get your voice heard as the first-place Eagles move to 3-3.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles.
With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Bo Wolf and AJ Feely back on the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com after the Eagles moved to 3-3 on the season with a 31-20 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for the time being all alone in first place in the NFC East. And we go to the phone lines now. Tim from South Carolina, how are you?
Hey, doing great. I've been an Eagles fan since 76. Great win for the Eagles. Offense looks fantastic. Nick Foles did a great job. Only concern I have is over and over again we see the Eagles have opponents on the third and long situation only to falter. What can the defense do to prevent these third and long catastrophes?
That's a great question, and thanks for the phone call. I think one of the problems on third and long we saw today was that Bill Davis would dial up the blitz and it just would not get home.
Yeah, I mean, there was times where they had him in their grasp, but Mike Lennon did a great job in escaping that and making a big play. I think the scheme was there. It's just a matter of making the play. I mean, you're there to make big plays, and that's the name of the game. It just didn't happen.
If you are the quarterback and you're facing a third and long, you've got third and 11 or so, would you rather face a blitz or would you rather face all coverage?
You know, for me, I'd rather face all coverage because I want to get guys out and, you know, into routes, because that allows to pull defenders and open up lanes. When you're sitting against the blitz, normally you're packing in the box and you're trying to throw balls, you know, versus, you know, two wide receivers out on a route against four guys covering, and the odds aren't in your favor. So I'd rather, you know, sit in zone, release everybody, and give yourself a chance.
All right, well, maybe that's why Billy Damix is dialing up those blitzes in those situations. After six games, let's talk about big picture view of this Eagles team. They are 3-3, undefeated in the NFC, and at the very worst, they'll be tied for the division lead at the end of the day. How do you grade this Chip Kelly Eagles team through the first six games?
Well, I give him a B+ right now. Obviously, they're not 6-0, and that's where ideally you want to be. But you're in first place of your division right now, and you have two wins in your belt in back-to-back weeks. That's momentum, and you're building on that. And I think guys in the locker room are feeling that. They're coming home against Dallas. They're in a position right now to win games. I think their schedule lends itself to finish out on top here and give themselves a chance to get to the playoffs.
One of the things that I'm most impressed with and most happy with about this Eagles team so far is that it really does seem to have an identity. I mean, the Eagles are, in almost every category, the very best running team in the league, and it's nice to have something like that to hang your hat on, no matter who is lining up on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, balance is the key. To have a running game, it opens up the passing game. And defensively, I think right now, they're establishing their identity. In the first couple of weeks, I don't think there was one. I mean, I think they're still trying to figure out their scheme and what they were good at and what they weren't good at. Right now, I think they're finding that out, and guys are playing up to their potential.
All right, back to the phone lines we go. Chink from New Jersey, how are you?
Hey, Bo. I just wanted to talk about, you know, like, maybe if Nick Foles could be our future quarterback, maybe, like, down the road when Michael Vick decides to retire or something like that, you know. Could Nick Foles lead Chip Kelly's offense in the down the road in the future?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
Listen, you know, Michael Vick has said he thinks he's probably got 3 years left, maybe. Nick Foles obviously has a long career ahead of him. How do you view his future in this offense potentially?
Well, I think it's not the ideal offense for Nick Foles, but he's able to play and win games in it. The offense is set up for a player that's like a Michael Vick, and that's probably the ideal guy to put in that spot. But Nick Foles, I've always said this, I think of him as like a poor man's Flacco, and the more and more he plays each and every week, that's going to improve, and that's going to even be better than that. But ideally for this offense, you'd like to see a different guy in there, but that doesn't say that Nick Foles won't come into his own and become the guy.
You've got Michael Vick, who is on a one-year deal. You've got Nick Foles, who is on his rookie contract, has been very good in this offense, but maybe not the ideal guy who you want moving forward. You've got Matt Barkley, who the team traded up for in the fourth round to take this year. But if you were the Eagles offense, would you still look to bring in a young quarterback of the future moving forward?
I don't know. I'm confused by that because right. If you look at Matt Barkley, you would say, all right, does he fit the same mold as the Michael Vick too? So, you know, the philosophy of thinking that you have to have a Michael Vick to run this offense and he'd be ideal, you know, that's not the case in their last pick for a quarterback. I think you're always looking to upgrade the position when you can. But who knows? I don't know if there's a guy that comes out in the draft here in the next couple of years that has the ability of Michael Vick. Then again, Nick Foles will take it, you know, could possibly take it and run with it.
All right, back to big picture stuff. How about the defense? This has obviously been a big undertaking, transitioning from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You're trying to get the players in there who fit that scheme. How do you feel like defense has held up through six games?
I think with what they have right now, they're doing a great job. And you can tell today's game, they're getting their fits. They're disguising a little better. It caused some problems today for their quarterback because he didn't know if guys were rushing, if they weren't. Like we talked about earlier, the TE game, it was timed up right. And those were all things that are going to come with playing. But I think, you know, as we get longer into this defense and with new players coming in next year and the following year, you're going to see a better defense.
The front three and the back four, I think, are the two focuses here. How do you think that those two, how far away do you think they are from being, you know, top level, top 10 caliber in the NFL?
You know, it's hard to say. If they keep getting turnovers, if it's by luck or if it's by aggressive play, you truly don't know.
That's fair. And I think still the focus of this Eagles team is the performance of that offense. That offense is going to carry this team forward. Over 30 points in four out of the six games. They only topped 30 points once last season. So even with the talent, with the way that this offensive line has been dominating and with the best running back in the league, in my estimation, I'll go with him over Adrian Peterson. But this is the best running team in the NFL, and I think this offense can carry the Eagles forward to at least competing for that division title.
Yeah, I mean, the offense is the key to this team right now, but they do need the help from defense. I mean, you can't leave these guys on an island and be out, have three and outs every time you have a series, because you put these guys in a situation where they're playing a lot of downs, they're getting tired, so they go hand in hand. But you know, right now, all the weapons are on offense, and they can build on the defense in the future.
All right, as we prepare to end the show shortly, one of the guys who was a focus this week was Zach Ertz, and he became a little bit more a focus of the offense this week. I think he was targeted four or five times, only two tight ends active. He's a guy who I think is emerging as a second option besides DeSean Jackson. But again, today, the other guy was Riley Cooper, who was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Ertz is a situational guy. He's a great pass-catching tight end. I don't know if he's an every-down player just yet, which you have with Selleck. But he definitely gives you an advantage with speed, size, and his ability to run great routes. So if they can find ways to get him in there and create mismatches like that you see across the league with like the Jimmy Grahams and the Gronkowskis, if you can do that and find him with one-on-one matchups and get him the football, it only helps your team.
It's all about finding those mismatches pre-snap, right? Identifying where the mismatch is?
It truly is. It's about extending him and realizing who's covering him. And from that, it declares what they're going to do on defense. You know, rather if you want to run the football or throw the football, a tight end displays can declare a lot.
As a quarterback, when you watch one of the conversations that fans have about Michael Vick versus Nick Foles is the deep ball. Nick obviously throws it up way higher, gives his guys a chance, whereas Mike is trying to hit a guy in stride, has a much stronger arm. As a quarterback, as a former quarterback, how do you view that situation?
Well, yeah, we talk about throwing the deep ball. You talk about throwing it in a box. It's 3 yards from the sidelines, and you always want to give your wide receiver to catch the ball. I think Michael Vick has such a strong arm and spins it so tightly at times, he leads them too far. Nick Foles, you know, you play the game of risk-reward. You give a guy that's 6'4", a chance to go up and make a play. There's a possibility he makes that play, And you know, you live and die by that. With Mike, I think he's either the guys are going to catch it in stride or it's going to be an incomplete pass.
Did you ever have a guy like DeSean Jackson to throw to?
I didn't. We didn't have speed guys like that, which
might have extended
my career. But we had guys that made plays and were tough football players.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for the postgame show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf, and AJ Feely. Thanks to Adam Kaplan. Thanks to all of you for giving us your phone calls. And the Eagles once again move to 3-3, first place in the NFC East. Don't miss Eagles Live tomorrow at noon. We will have Chip Kelly's press conference live for you right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody.